I was reading through these verses a few days ago, and the Lord helped me, the Lord spoke to me, and began to feed me from these verses. And I began to, actually I couldn't even continue to read at that point. I finished the chapter eventually, but I got hung up in verse 1. I wanted to get to verse 3, but I got hung up in verse 1. And so we're just going to look at these things. I don't even really have a title other than just Jeremiah 33:3. Our emergency system has a 3-digit number you can dial and get some help. 911. Well, God says, I've got 3 digits you can dial, and that's 333. Jeremiah 33:3. And I thought about this as I was studying on, meditating on it. And got it clear in my heart, the Lord wanted me to deal with it tonight, or at least start on it, that very few messages on prayer will ever be preached, but what this verse, verse number 3, is at least referenced. Brother Scott's probably quoted, referenced in every, just about every message that's ever been preached on prayer. It's probably one of the most noted verses on prayer in our Bible, Jeremiah 33:3, and you ought to memorize it. If you hadn't already, you ought to memorize it. It's a very easy verse to memorize, and it's one that you can use. It's one that can encourage you to keep on praying when it seems difficult to do so. And I got to thinking about my own ministry of 36 and a half years. I preached on prayer several times, and I've quoted this verse many times, committed it to memory long, many years ago, but I don't know, to my knowledge, if I've ever preached on it out of this passage. Don't think I have. If I have, I don't remember. But Lord willing, tonight we're going to embark on that subject of trying to bring out some things out of these verses that I hope will be a help to us tonight. And let's start in verse number 1, and here I want to look at some things in these verses. I think I've got probably 6 or 7 already that I've seen in these verses that stands out about prayer. And I'm just going to start in verse 1 with the very first one. The Lord showed me the other morning in my devotions as I was reading these verses. And I love it when God speaks to me. I love it when God's word speaks to me. It seems to brighten up the day. It seems to get my focus back where it needs to be when God speaks. Seems like when God speaks, other voices get silent. Seems like when God speaks, the inner man stands to attention and says, "Speak, for thy servant listeneth." The storm may be raging, but if God will speak, it'll make all the difference in the world. And if you'll notice in verse number 1, I simply call this the preparation for prayer. The preparations for prayer. It's not really what is said in verse 1 that got me to thinking about that thought of the preparations of prayer, but it's what's not said in verse number 1. But rather is, and also is hinted to in verse 1. Let me read verse number 1. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time." And note this statement: "While he was yet shut up in the court of the prison." Now, I believe after reading that, you'd have to agree with me that Jeremiah was not having the best of circumstances. You'd have to agree with me that Jeremiah was in a situation that would not be envied by anybody. Nobody would want to swap places with him. And where I get the term or the point of preparation is that it's evident that Jeremiah, though outwardly things were not going well, inwardly, evidently, he was right with God. Or else God would have never spoke to him. Amen. So that tells me that even if you're shut up in a prison, outwardly, inwardly, you can be right with the Lord. Now, Jeremiah didn't choose the doors being shut. He didn't choose the prison walls. He didn't choose the circumstance. But he chose his condition. How many times you've heard me say that? I feel God tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen, Lord. Bless your name. I don't know how many times that I've said it since God gave it to me, that you don't always choose your circumstance, but you always choose your condition. And so it's evident that here Jeremiah was in a circumstance that he didn't choose, but he did choose to not allow it to define him. He did choose to not let the prison doors that were shut to shut him up and to shut him down. And so it's given us some reference here. I think that Jeremiah was preparing and stayed prepared in his heart to where when verse 3 did come along, he was able to do it. Amen. His relationship and reception to God's word shows us that inwardly he was where he needs to be. Amen. There's something maybe that's far worse than being in a prison when God speaks to you. There may be something worse than that. You say, Bridger, what? Hardly could be worse than that. That is to be sitting on the pew and things being fine and your heart not right and God not speak to you. You'd probably be surprised. I've been reading, like I said, through Jeremiah, and I've not been reading it fast. I've been reading it and rereading because I've seen it several times appear through the chapters already that I've read. And the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. Oh, yes. It didn't matter if it was rejected by men. It didn't matter if he was thrown in jail and prison, if he was beat on, and he was, and if he was lied on, and he was. But yet, it did not change his heart. Oh, I read back a few chapters ago where Jeremiah started letting what was going on the outside start get on the inside, Brother Carroll. And that's in chapter number 20.
Amen. Jeremiah wasn't invincible. Jeremiah, though he was the great prophet of God. In fact, in the New Testament, when they asked Peter, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? When Jesus asked that question, one of them said, all people said, you're Jeremiah. Yeah. Wouldn't that be a great honor? Right. For somebody to think you're Jeremiah. That Jesus is Jeremiah. Right. Well, there's a lot of similarities, no doubt, to that effect. But Jeremiah got a fix in chapter number 20, right, where he made this statement. He said, I will not speak anymore in his name.
Right.
You can look at that every how you want to, but that simply means he was quit.
Yes, sir.
Right. He was making the idea and the mindset, I'm done, I'm through, amen, I am quitting. Amen. But yet the Bible said something about what was going on the inside. Yeah, God let us see on the inside, Brother Aaron. The Bible said, but his word was shut up in my bones as a burning fire,
and I could not stay. He said what kept me from quitting on the outside was the word and the fire thereof that was on the inside. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, friend, and that we ought to listen. Amen. God's helping me. Hey, God's feeding my heart even now. Instead of trying to dodge the prison cell of circumstance, may we spend more time focusing on inner preparation, where we stay prepared that if God would want to speak, that we would be receptive, that we would be responsive. Amen. Hallelujah, Lord. Amen, that's right. For God to hear you or speak to you, one must be right on the inside. Amen, that's right. The prison doors being shut did not shut the mouth of God. Boy, let get a hold of that. That was one of the first things I saw when I come through verse number 1 and wrote it in the fly leaf of my Bible, that circumstances doesn't stop God from speaking. Hey, man can shut the doors on your life. You feel confined. You may feel bound. And you may feel like there's just everything's closing in. I want to tell you that don't stop God from speaking. God doesn't need an intercom to speak. God doesn't need a microphone to speak. You know why? He has a direct link and line hooked up to your spirit. Amen. And God can speak to you in the darkest of nights. God can speak to you when the storms of life are raging. Amen. Oh, yes. When there's all kinds of opposition, God can speak to you. And I said again, if God will speak to you, it'll sure help you. I believe the underlying contributor to all the spiritual decline of our church and of us individuals that make up this church is due to a collapse on the inside of maintaining preparedness to be able to hear from God. I believe that's it. I believe God spoke to me today as clear as a bell on that. That's where we're at. Personal devotions is more valuable in your life than what you can imagine. None of us really probably know how important that it is. And many times it gets the least amount of attention. It holds the least amount of value in our life. Amen. I believe that when we let the inside collapse, though we keep the outside going, isn't that easier to do? We keep the outside going. We keep making sure that we carry in our Bible and we go to church, amen, and so on and so forth. But the inside, as it begins to collapse and the inside begins to deteriorate, guess what happens? Then we start getting in a mess, amen. And I believe that. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe that describes where we are. Amen. I believe there has been a letdown of personal devotions. And I'm not talking about mechanical devotions. I'm not talking about just mechanically reading three or four verses and praying a three or four minute prayer before you go to bed. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about devotion. I'm talking about getting in the presence of the Lord. I'm talking about God's word feeding you. Not just speaking, not just you reading it, but feeding on it. I tell you, it blesses me. When I started reading, I in that particular segment, I started back in chapter number 31. And I was reading through and I'd make notes and underline things. But when I got to chapter 33 and verse number 1, I'm telling you, I had to put it in slow gear. In fact, I never got past verse 1 for a while as I began to meditate on it. As Jeremiah was shut up in the prison. But it did not shut up God. Hallelujah. I like that. I wrote it this way, similar to what I just said. Jeremiah was shut up in prison, but that did not cause Jeremiah to be shut down. It didn't cause Jeremiah to be shut out. It didn't cause Jeremiah to be shut off. Though he might have been having some bad circumstances, he was still hooked up with God. Hey, amen, that's right. Boy, that's a blessing for me to know that. Amen. When there's outward limitations in your life, such as a prison cell, so to speak, make sure that there's no inward problem. I believe Jeremiah was right with the Lord. Amen? Amen. Jeremiah being able to hear God, be able to receive the word that was sent to him, tells me that he wasn't distracted by where he was and what was going on. Don't that make sense? Jeremiah, in a prison cell, shut up, and to look at it humanly, you'd think he was having a bad day. But evidently, Jeremiah turned that prison cell, or God did, into a study. God said, just like with Paul, wrote several of the prison epistles in the New Testament, you know, he thought, man, we're going to shut your mouth. We're going to put you in isolation. But oh, my goodness, he began to write and pen down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit some church epistles. Praise the Lord for that. So Jeremiah, hearing what God said, hearing the word of the Lord that came to him the second time, let me know that he wasn't distracted. And boy, how easy would it not have been to have been distracted with what was going on in his life. And he wasn't in prison for robbing a bank either. He wasn't in there for doing wrong. He was in there because people were rejecting his message. His message was one of judgment and confrontation and conviction. And brother, I'm going to tell you, they despised him. Amen. False prophets would rise up and say God had said, and Jeremiah would go to him and say, God said, no, he didn't tell you nothing. Paraphrasing. You said, you're telling the people God said. God had said. No, God didn't say nothing through you. In fact, here's what God said. You're going to die. And they kick a bucket. Amen. I'd hate for Jeremiah to be on my case. Amen. That's right. Jeremiah preached a negative message. I just go and get an altar instead of having to get in a casket. Amen. Jeremiah's devotion was, listen to this, by the fact that Jeremiah in that circumstance heard the word of God as it was spoke to him, that let me know, spoke to my heart, that his devotion time with God, hearing from God, receiving God's word was greater than his difficulty. He wasn't focusing on the prison doors being shut. He wasn't focusing on the prison cell. He wasn't focusing on the rejection because the word of the Lord came to him. That was his focus. Amen. Amen. He refused to let his affliction give him a deaf ear to God's voice and stop him from hearing. How about that? How many times I've done that? Lord, have mercy, how many times that I've let difficulties, amen, not only distract me, but give me a deaf ear to God's word. Read it, read pages of it, and it says nothing to me. If you read pages, I know you might could read a verse or two, but if you read quite a bit and God says nothing to you, you need to back up. You need to back up and say, Lord, what's wrong? Because I know from the scripture in John 10, you love communicating with your sheep. Sheep hears the voice of the shepherd. God communicates with his people. And Lord, I've read your recorded word, your recorded voice. And God, I haven't heard anything. You haven't spoke to me about anything. And we ought to just back up and say, Lord, what's the deal? What's up? What's up with that? Anyway, we could go on and on about that. Jeremiah heard the word of God. Lets us know how he was on the inside, and it speaks volumes to us about God. No matter what you're going through, that cannot interfere. That cannot interfere with God speaking to you if you're right on the inside. Amen, that's right. And when God speaks to you, that is the joy of your heart. Amen. I'm telling you, that is the joy of your heart when God speaks to you. Is that not right? Amen. Let me see if I can find a verse of scripture right here. Just come to my mind. I don't know if I can find it or not. There it is. Psalms 19, you can just listen to it. Speaking about the word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimonies of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. You remember back when you was prepared and your heart was right and God could speak, and boy, it would rejoice, it would cause a rejoicing in your heart. Huh? You remember that? But also, can you remember back, and I'm sure all of us can, to those times, many times, far too often times, where we got in a shape to where we weren't prepared in our heart and we didn't hear God and we went days with no spiritual joy. Amen. You know what that ought to do to us? One, it ought to convict us. Two, it ought to call us back to get right with God so God can speak to us once again. I say unto you, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time in such dire circumstances and in such a situation while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison. What about that? So anyway, I probably maybe just going to deal with one more. I was going to deal with three, try to cut it in half, maybe deal with the other half next Wednesday if that'd be the Lord's will. But the second thing that I noticed, and I've probably already hit some of it, and that is not only do I notice in these verses that preparation is linked to prayer. I mean, it makes sense, don't it? That if you can't get to verse 3 without starting in verse 1. Communication is now where we're at. Not only is preparation connected to prayer, but communication is connected to prayer. You say, Preacher, what are you talking about? Verse 1, God is speaking to Jeremiah. Verse number 3, God's inviting us to speak to him. If we don't hear God when he speaks, it's doubtful that he will hear us when we speak. In fact, I'm going to be transparent. Might as well be, amen. Here's the truth. Here is the truth, and I've seen it in my own life, and I've seen it just in Christianity in general. That if I'm in such a shape to where God speaking to me don't matter, or God speaking to me don't carry a lot of weight, then it really don't matter either that he's not hearing me. How many can relate to that? When I get in such a shape that I'm breaking down in verse 1, I'm breaking down, the prison walls and the shut doors, it's got too big to me. That's all I can see. That's all I can think about. That's all I talk about is the prison doors that shut. I can't believe it. Here I am. I'm a servant of God and the door is shut. And I'm in a prison. Amen. But if I'm breaking down in verse 1 to where that's my focus and my ears are not open, clear to the voice of God, him speaking to me. And let me just plug right there with a question. How long has it been since you got disturbed or even noticed? I've sat through several services or I've read several chapters and God is not even speaking to me. In fact, let me go a little deeper. If you're breaking down in verse number 1 to where inwardly you're not a receptor of God's words being spoken to you, you're probably not even reading his word. Amen. I mean, really, you be honest now. Be honest about it. Why would I want to read this, right, especially with any kind of desire?
Right.
Read this with any kind of hunger when my heart is collapsing to where my focus is all circumstantial and situational. Right. My everything is horizontal. My focus is completely horizontal. And I'm in shape, Brother Travis, where God can't speak to me.
Right.
And hasn't spoken to me. And I don't even miss it. Chances are, maybe a day or two you operate in habit form, but chances are there's going to come a time where you start breaking down with even reading the scripture.
That's true, right?
And here's why. It's not that you don't like reading, it's that you're not hearing anything. You're not getting anything from the scripture. Amen. And all of that, listen, you think God would have went through everything he went through to give us a Bible? Allow the bloodshed that took place to give us a Bible? And then him not planning on speaking to us with it and through it? Oh, he wants it.
Right.
The problem is what I said in verse 1, there's a collapse of preparedness on the inside, keeping our heart right to where the word of the Lord can come unto us.
Amen.
You talking about what a stand this church up in attention is for God to start speaking to individuals. I just noticed that. The Bible said the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. Wasn't no congregation. There wasn't no group. I don't even know if there was anybody in the prison with him. As far as in that, I don't know if it was a cell or how they made their prisons then. I don't know. But listen, it didn't say the word of the Lord came unto us. It didn't say the word of the Lord came, unto them. But no, Jeremiah said, the Bible said the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. Oh, yes. You ought to have it in your heart tonight, Lord, no matter what happens to others, no matter what they're doing, no matter if they're walking with God, and no matter if you're speaking to them or if they're speaking to you, I want you to speak to me, and I want to speak to you. Communication. In fact, the truth is those two things goes together. God speaking to me and me speaking to God. Think about it now. If something's got God's voice hindered from speaking to me, but it's got that same whatever it is, has also got my voice blocked from speaking to him.
Amen.
That's why when one breaks down, both breaks down. By the way, do we not know? Have we forgotten? I'm sure we know. I know that we know. But prayer is a two-sided. We're speaking to God. God's speaking to us. Some people say that God speaks to us through his word, and we speak to God through prayer. But anyway, let me hurry on and at least try to get this one done, if I can. Well, I appreciate all the stuff God's given me, and I appreciate all the additional stuff God's given me while I've been preaching. But communication is attached to prayer. Amen. Our shut up circumstances does not shut up God, nor should it shut us up. I could probably ask a question, and I wonder how many in here would respond affirmatively that we've let our situations shut us up. Concerning prayer. And usually, here's the truth. If we're shut up in prayer, we're probably shut up about everything else. Okay, I might as well preach with her now. Well, when God gives us stuff. Listen, if I'm shut up in prayer, which is talking to God, then Brother Aaron, why would I not be also shut up in praise, which is talking about God? You wonder why a lot of churches are quiet as a mouse? Maybe it could be that our the same thing that's affecting us in the prayer closet, Brother Jeter, might be affecting us in the praise area. Why would I want to talk about it if I'm not talking to him? Why would I want to talk about him if he's not talking to me? Amen. And let me make it very clear that anytime God is not speaking to us, the fault is on our end. It is never on God's end. Never. God loves to communicate with us. Amen. There are several things that proves that. But it's a proven fact. God is a God of communication. Loves to fellowship with us. Loves that. That's the purpose. Listen, do you know that that was the reason for the tabernacle in the wilderness?
That's right.
Exodus, I'd have to look it up, maybe about chapter 25 or so. It says that given instruction on building that tabernacle, he said that I may dwell among men. God said, I want a mobile house to where that as you move, I move, and I'll be in your midst. And hey, why? Because I just like being with you. want to be with God, but why would God want to walk with us? Amen. Oh, my goodness. Why would God condescend to be with us and to fellowship with us and to, hey, what about that God that inhabiteth eternity, the glory world of heaven, and the paradise of God, that he comes to live in a little old tent structure with badger skins and all kinds of skins and everything, and to live there just so he can say that I may dwell among you.
That's right.
And with that said, do you, can you get in your mind, I can't, that God don't want to talk to me? No, God wants to talk to me.
Amen.
Oh, mercy. Maybe, maybe God many times is waiting on us to initiate.
Right.
I'm jumping ahead, maybe the next Wednesday. If God's one, it said, verse 3, call. How does it say, call unto me?
Yes.
Call unto me. It was God's idea. God's one that said, hey, Jeremiah, call. Call. You take the initiative.
That's right.
Amen. Well, when's the prayer time, Lord? It's not indicated. Oh, what day of the week, Lord? It's not indicated. Night or day, Lord? Will it be too late? Or will it be too early? God says, no, I don't slumber nor sleep. I don't need a nap. I don't have a bed. I've got a throne, but I don't have a bed. Just call. Woo! Amen. Amen, Lord. Hallelujah. I guess simply put this evening, the Lord's letting us know that if we're silent to God and about God, and God is silent to us, it is not circumstantial, it's condition. Amen. Well, glory. That's right. I like it, don't you? Amen. Amen. God speaking to us moves on to God speaking through us. But neither one will happen unless we talk to God. Amen. And our communication with Him's right. Let me give you this verse. You know this verse. You've quoted it. I know you have. Read it many times. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 4, Jesus. I'm talking about now communication, the importance of communication as it relates to prayer. And this is going to be my last thing. I'm not even going to try to get on number three, the third. Communication. Matthew 4 and verse 4, the devil was tempting Jesus in the wilderness, and Jesus had been fasting, praying in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was 100% man as well as 100% God, right? So he was hungry, no doubt. The devil tempted him and said, turn the stones to bread. Remember that? He tempted him to do that. And Jesus responded in verse number 4 and quoted from the book of Deuteronomy. Amen. Isn't that amazing that Jesus Christ, who could have just flipped his little pinky and whipped the devil, amen, right there, or just spoke a word, could have, amen, with the devil, but he used to be an example to us, Brother Scott, that, listen, we don't have that supernatural power that just could just flip the devil with our teeth.
That's right.
So God, Jesus knew better than to set forth that pattern because we couldn't follow. Jesus knows that we're going to have encounters with the enemy, and he's setting us an example of how to have victory.
That's true.
Here's how he did it. preach on that again. That feeds me every time I think about it. We have the written word, which is the Logos word, but in from that word it comes a rhema word, a personal word from the written word. Amen. God says, here's what you're going to live off of. Jesus said, here's what you're going to live off of. You're going to live off of every word, personal word, that comes from the mouth of God to you. That's what you're going to live off of. You ever wondered why a lot of people in church are dying spiritually? Weren't God's giving them a personal word or why? Amen? Amen. Preparedness, preparation is connected to prayer. Communication is connected to prayer. God speaking to me and me speaking to God. Amen. That's good, ain't it? I wrote this down, it's fed me. The doors of the prison may be shut up, but the windows of prayer in heaven remain open. Amen. Sometimes we focus on the shut doors and the smothering situation and the stopped up ears of the listeners that causes us to lose sight of the windows of heaven being opened, awaiting our praying. I never thought about it, hardly I don't guess this until this evening. But when Noah built the ark, God told Noah to put a window in the top of it. Well, there's some parallel thoughts right there about prayer. Amen. What was that window for? Well, several reasons. One, it let light in. The only window in the whole outfit. Let light in. Prayer, let light in. If you want to know where you're at, get serious about prayer. God will tell you. God will speak to you. God will show you. Maybe that's the reason some people don't like praying, because God will point out things in their heart. Amen. That's right, isn't it? So it lets light in. Lets fresh air in. Lets fresh air in. Lets you get a distant look. Let you get a see way out there because it was in the top, you know. And all of, or else, actually, the only look that Noah could look at was up.
That's right.
Isn't that what prayer is? Prayer allows you to have your focus upward. So anyway, we've looked at tonight in Jeremiah 33, verse 1. We've looked at the fact that there was preparation involved or attached to prayer. And let me just comment right there. Lord showed me. That preparation is not God's doings. Your heart being prepared to receive the word of God is not what God does. You're responsible for that.
Amen.
Amen. Had Jeremiah had harbored ill will and unforgiveness or bitterness in his heart toward those that had treated him wrong and rejected his word, I wonder if that would have hindered the word of God coming to him. Amen. So there's preparation. Then, of course, then as we've covered a little bit, there's communication as well that's attached to prayer. God speaking to me in verse 1. And then me speaking to God in verse 3. If the Lord leads, we'll be back, Lord willing, and we'll pick up the next thought that I've seen in this passage, and we'll look at it a little further, a little deeper maybe, as God's speaking to us and helping us. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for the word of God. I want to thank you for, Lord, it's ministering to my heart in time of study, meditation, devotion, reading. Thank you, Lord, for allowing the word of God to catch my attention. Lord, I want to thank you that the Spirit of God nudged me as I read into verse number 1, and it caught my attention. I could have just read over it. I could have read past it, never caught it. And Lord, I would have missed out. But Lord, I want to thank you that the Spirit of God enabled us and helped us, nudged us to see this, and it's helping me and speaking to me. We pray, Lord, that you'll teach us something from these verses. Lord, you said in your precious word, call unto me, and I will answer thee. and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Lord, may that be true. Lord, it is true, but may it be true in us. May it be a real reality, Lord, to us tonight, that wasn't it just exclusive to Jeremiah. But I believe that we also can draw strength and application, and we can apply that to us, because, Lord, we have many, many scriptures in the New Testament that shows us that, Lord, that praying is your idea, and Lord, you made it possible for us to have throne connections, and that we'd be able to petition, Lord, the throne of grace. And Lord, I believe, as I've said and I've heard it said as well, that every failure can be traced to a prayer failure. And Lord, I ask that you would help me with this and help our church to look at ourselves inwardly and make the moves necessary to be right with God inwardly. Lord, there may be some here today that, dear Lord, that needs to get in an altar and say, God, I'm sorry that I've been so slothful and slack concerning receiving the word of God and being prepared in my heart to receive the word of God. Forgive me for reading the Bible when I do read it, just being mechanical and habitual. Forgive me, Lord, for reading the infallible word of God without heart and with very little attention. Lord, help us, dear Father, to look at our relationship to it. And Lord, I ask now that your will would be done. And help us to know tonight that our lack of joy, our decline, our defeat does not come from persecutors or persecution. It doesn't come from those that lock the prison doors on us. It didn't come from those that would treat us disrespectfully as they did Jeremiah. But Lord, it comes from not being right on the inside. Lord, help us, I pray, with that. Because there's no telling, Lord, what we're going to face in the days to come. We have no idea, Lord. And we don't have to know. We don't have to know. As long as we focus on our hearts being right, to where we can hear from you and where you can hear from us, then, Lord, we're going to have victory in our hearts and joy in our hearts no matter what comes in our life. Have your way, Lord. And I want to again thank you for helping me, giving us liberty, feeding us even while we were preaching. In Jesus' name we pray.